We started very briefly into the Sword of the Spirit last week. I think we had a great time in service last week. We had some people testifying and giving testimonials and just speaking from the heart. The door is locked. Yeah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, come to you in Jesus' name. And I ask, Lord, that you use me, that the Holy Spirit speak through my lips, Father. Accomplish your will and your purpose. Let your word go forth out, as you said. It does not return to you void, but it accomplishes your will and your purpose, Father. So accomplish your will and your purpose right now in this church this morning, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we're winding down on the armor, how many have memorized Ephesians chapter 6? No? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. I haven't memorized it either, so. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you are able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you are able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, remember, here's the transition, above all, so you have the other pieces of armor on at all times, above all now, you take the shield of faith, wherewith you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And you take the helmet of salvation, that hope for glorification, the thing, the promise that we look forward to. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, capital S, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And last week we talked briefly about Paul using the sword. And we use the reference of the Roman gladius, which was the sword that conquered the world. And it was primarily an offensive weapon that was used to a legionnaire, but it also was used in defense to parry off attacks. But a Roman soldier could not be sent into battle without having extensive training with the use of that gladius. So they were trained, if you remember, using shields of wood and wicker and swords, but they were actually twice the weight of the sword that they would carry. And the thought was that because it was heavier and they could master the use in practice with something that was heavier, then when the battle came, they could wield something more light and be more fierce and be able to accomplish what they wanted to, which was conquer the world. But the word of God is even sharper than the gladius. It pierces to the deepest level of one's heart, to your attitude, and it's also a tool of discernment in the hands of those who have a skilled use of using it and wielding it. We as Christians, because we are saved, have access to the armor. You don't have access to the armor, nor access to the sword of the Spirit, if you're not saved. So let's make the assumption that we are saved. If you're not, come talk to me. Jesus loves you. It is imperative that you are able to trust that weapon. It's the only offensive weapon noted that Paul says, and it's sufficient enough. And last week we talked about that you have to be able to trust the word of God to the fullest. Is that your final authority? And just to recap a little bit, the character of the word is what we went into, and that's where we kind of left off, was that the law of the Lord, the word, it's perfect. Its scripture cannot be broken in John. In Revelation, man cannot add unto it, and they can't take away from it. Because it says if he adds unto it, he gets plagues. He gets the plagues in this book added unto him. And if he takes away from it, his name is blotted out of the book of life. That's pretty serious stuff. Scripture was given by inspiration with the Holy Spirit through men. And the Scripture has no private interpretation. In fact, Proverbs chapter 30 and Psalms chapter 12 both talk about how pure the word of the Lord is. Psalm 119, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Do you love his word? Does it guide you? 2 Timothy 3, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And I wanted to say that scripture again because it's the truth. It corrects you. It gives you instruction on how to live holy, does it not? Does the Bible do that? And what we just prayed in Isaiah 55, it says in 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it'll accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So God's will be accomplished regardless. He will work his way through, whether he uses you or he has to use someone else. That's why you want to be a vessel of honor to be used. You want to be surrendered wholly to him. You must understand the accuracy and the integrity of God's word. But let's look at what it does. What does the word accomplish? What is its source? What does it give us? In John chapter 17, turn over there. John chapter 17, verse 17. Now you're going to use your sword. So you're going to turn to the scriptures with me. Let's learn how to wield it. Let's learn where we're going, right? Even if it takes us all day, I got nowhere to be. In verse 17, it says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So, first off, the word of God is a source of truth. God's word is the truth, plain and simple. That's it. So we can have perfect confidence in the fact that his word is accurate. It's true. There's no error in it. And when followed, it will guide us without fail with the path we need to walk. We look at this scripture and it says sanctify them. What is the process that we're doing as Christians right now? First, we were justified. Now we are in the process of sanctification. And then when you see Jesus face to face, you are then what? Glorified. All right. You are awake. All right. Next, Psalms chapter 119, verse 105. Turn over there. Let's go, folks. Old Testament. Psalm 119, verse 105. Everyone there? Yes? All right, let's read together. Because you guys need to speak the word. I don't need you to speak the word. We all get to speak together, right? Look at everyone smiling now. Let's read together. Ready? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So it's a source of guidance. God's word, this word illuminates. It reveals to us the good and the bad, the wise and the unwise. It is the ultimate tool in learning how to live the best possible life we can here on earth to give him glory, not ourselves, and free from restraints of stumbling in darkness. My wife and I just put a nightlight in near Caitlin's room. Part of that was because of, you know, she's getting to the age where she's starting to get scared of the dark. But also, it gets really dark in that room. We have these poster boards we made up because, you know, our curtains were not dark enough at night. So in the summer, it would, you know, the light would still peer through. So we had these poster boards made up and we put over the window. But it would get so dark in there. So dark in there. And, I mean, it's so easily to stub your toe. And so, but a little bit of light made all the difference. And in the corner of her room was the modem, and the modem was always covered by the diaper bag. We'd cover it so there was no light. But if you moved it a little bit, that dark room, just a little bit of light, you could see where you were going. Why am I saying that? You live in a dark world. This world is fallen, okay? The world is fallen. It's a corrupt system. It's a dark world that you live in. But a little bit of light will give you guidance. It'll cast enough that you can see where you're going, right? You know where you're going, right? Jesus is at the end of the race saying, come on, come on, you can do it. He's cheering you on. So the word of God is not only a source of truth, it's a source of guidance. It's also a source of blessedness. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34. And if you're not in the Word daily, then I would encourage you to get into the Word daily and just start. Start by reading a psalm a day if you need to. Start by reading Proverbs. There's so much good wisdom inside this book. Verse 34, blessed is the man. Come on, folks. Blessed is, 834, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. And in Luke 11:28 it says, but he said, yeah, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So our blessings, our joy, right? Not happiness, our joy. Joy is what? A fruit of the Spirit. It goes beyond an emotion. It comes from this word. It comes from this word. It's also a source of growth. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. New Testament, folks, for those who aren't in the scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Ready? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So it's a source of growth. Caitlin just had her last doctor's checkup and last round of shots. And they, you see like the progression of her growth. So she's grown. She's grown because of her mother's breast milk. The things that she started on now she's transferring over to meat, right? So you start with milk and then you transfer over to harder solids, right? So that's what I was saying. If you're not in the Word, then start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. So just start with the basics. Just reading the scripture, and then you then learn to study. And when you study, you start digging deeper. It's a source of power given even to eternal life. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. So the word of God has the power unto salvation. Who was the Word? Amen. Source, it's a source of patience and comfort. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. What do we have hope of? We have hope. We have hope in this life, and we have hope obviously to the end of our salvation, right? That was the helmet of salvation that we learned about. The hope of what's to come. And finally, in Ephesians chapter 6, everything we've been reading, the source of the word, is spiritual victory. What you guys don't understand is it's a spiritual war, but the victory's already been won. Christ won at the cross. You just need to stand in that victory. Stand there for it. And then you have your armor on, right? And now you're going to combat against the kingdom of darkness with that word. So now we know what the source is, but Paul defines the sword of the Spirit as the word of God. And it's better than any Roman sword. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, turn over there with me. We've already used this scripture before, but we're going to do it again. Let's hear those pages turn. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. You guys all there? Let's read. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Wow. That is a pretty powerful weapon. You think about surgeries, and you think about how, like, people have gone in, and maybe Rosie probably can, you know, elaborate a little bit here, but the Word of God says it's quicker and powerful than any sword. That would be like the scalpel and things that they use to get down there. It's sharper than that, and it divides. It divides spirit, sorry, it divides spiritual things. Soul and the spirit. And I think that's awesome, because when you read a scripture and it convicts you, right? It's for reproof. So it says, I really missed the mark on that one. And it's really, it separates the soul and the spirit. The soul, you know, still gets, you know, warring with the flesh, but our spirit is pure. The Holy Spirit is in you, right? That's the spirit. The spirit is inside you. So the sword cuts and reaches the heart, and the heart is the center of the action. You remember us talking about that? The breastplate of righteousness? You remember what it protects? The heart. That's the center of everything that goes on. And the key is that the sword is a spiritual, it's a spirit weapon, because we're talking about the spirit realm, right? So it's not an earthly weapon. This word of God is a spiritual weapon. And so you have to understand the difference. You saw me wheeled around that Roman sword last week, that big thing, you know, hunked around. But, you know, to the eye, if I was going into battle, right, I could have that big sword in my hand, or I could have this. What would I do? Well, my flesh would say, I think I want the other sword, the physical sword. But let me tell you about a story. And the story was called Gideon. And God's ways were not our ways. And Gideon, with 300 men, took on the Amalekites and the children of the valley. And I forget who the other one was. But they did not have the sword that you saw there. It was the word of God that came to Gideon and said, here's what you're going to do. Here's what you're going to do. And what did he do? First, he started weeding out those. He weeded out those who weren't going to make the cut. Okay? So he was looking for a few good men and women. Faithful. And as he weeded out to that process, then they had to be obedient, because they laid down their weapons and they picked up a lantern, a pitcher, and a ram's horn. Those things don't make a lot of sense if you ask the general in Victory Today, like, oh, let's go attack ISIS with a ram's horn, a pitcher, and a lantern. No, that doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? But God's ways are not our ways. All you have to do is understand what God says and then be obedient to his word. And with 300 men, they conquered thousands, tens of thousands of men with those three things because of obedience to God's word. That is the power that you hold in your hand. It's not just because it's a book. It's what's inside the book and what it means to you and your spirit. So you got to understand, we are talking about the spiritual realm and what God can accomplish. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5, let's turn over there. Again, remember, we're talking about the spiritual realm. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. You ready? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So he's saying here, Yes, we are human. We have flesh. We have flesh. We're not talking about the flesh as far as the carnal part of man, but we're talking about flesh, you know? We are flesh. But our war is not fought with man's weapons. The weapons are not of the flesh, so therefore they must be spiritual weapons, correct? And these weapons are mighty through God. And mighty, and I broke down this scripture, and I just thought it was awesome when I broke it down. I was so excited when I went through it. But mighty, mighty in the Greek is dunatos. And it says, it's the definition of it is powerful, capable, able, strong, mighty in wealth and influence. And I love this. This is the part that hit me. Strong in soul to bear calamities and trials with fortitude and patience. Wow. That's what mighty is. That's what mighty is. It's the ability to be strong in your soul to bear the calamities and the trials that come its way with fortitude and patience. Strong in Christian virtue, to be able to do something mighty, excelling in something and having power for something. Turn over to James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. You know, I'll just read it. I'll read it for you guys. Forget it. We'll stay there because I just want to go backward and continue going into the scripture. But to be strong in soul, to bear calamities and trials with fortitude and patience. Some of you said you had trials this week. Some of you had a rough week. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." James chapter 1, verse 12, a little bit later on in that passage. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Isn't that awesome? So you had a tough week. You turn over to James and you say, That's what I know. That the trying of my patience, what does it say here? I'm going to count it all joy because that the trying of my faith worketh patience, but patience has her perfect work because then I'll be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. And I get this crown of life because I've endured the temptation. So the spiritual weapon is mighty. It's powerful. And it has the ability to destroy strongholds. Does it not? Strongholds in the Greek, okuruma. I think so. I tried to do the phonetical spelling. So, and strongholds are a castle or a fortress or anything on which one relies. So you think about in a military sense, a castle or a fort serves a purpose. It's to withstand the enemy, or it is to create a nuisance, right? So the enemy, though, tries to create strongholds in your mind. That's what Satan does. He uses deception to build those strongholds or fortresses in your mind. Those strongholds then form in your mind, and it causes incorrect thinking. It causes you to doubt his word. It causes you to question, this is kind of a joke. What pastor's saying, you know, this whole thing about the Spirit of God, or the Word of God being able to cut down through the bone and the marrow. It makes you question those things. The deception. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but, you know, how many when I was just talking about that go, a little cynical? I know there's some minds in here that are brilliant, and you look at things a little bit cynical. Cut out what's in the mind, because that's what you've been raised in, and what's been teaching you what's in your mind. The world system, which has been corrupt. You have to go into the Spirit. You need to go deep down inside to say, what is it that he's really saying? What is the Holy Spirit really trying to say to me? And that's how you read the Word of God too. So those strongholds are incorrect thinking patterns that are created in our thought process based on the lies that we've been taught. And the scripture says we cast down imaginations, which is, imaginations are logismos, which is a computation or reasoning or conscience, conceit, or thought. A reckoning or reasoning such as hostile to the Christian faith, a judgment or decision such as conscience passes. So we're casting down imaginations. We're tearing down the strongholds by the word of God. That's what the word of God does, because it says our weapons are not carnal. What is our weapon? We have armor, but I just said there's one weapon, which is what? It's the word of God. Isn't that awesome? You have the ability to cast down, tear down forts, tear down strongholds, break them down with the word of God. You have the ability to come against the thoughts and the reasoning that are contrary to his word. So Satan tries to form those imaginations and those strongholds in your mind, saying they're anti-God, they're anti-holy. You don't need to do that. You don't need to do this. You need to enjoy yourself. Take some of the world's goodies, enjoy life. You're missing out. You're missing out. You know what I'm talking about, right? The little whispers that you hear in your ear. I deal with the same things you guys deal with too. Satan comes at me and he studies me. He looks to find his ways. Where do I question? It's to put my reliance on something other than God. Reliance on the enjoyment of my life. You're only here a little while. It's okay. No one will know. So the only way, it says here, to bring down the lies and deceptions are to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ and his truth. He is the living word. He spoke the living word. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what, folks? Set you free. The truth is God's word, which again is sharper than any two-edged sword that man can create. This weapon has divine power. You can't beat that. But training is required to use it. Just as the Roman soldier needed training to wield the weapon, the sword. And remember, they started with wooden swords. Christians must also train and be skillful in the use of the sword. Hebrews tells us that we must become gradually more knowledgeable and skilled in the word of God until we're actually able to use it to discern both good and evil. So in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. We're almost done, folks. Not on the sword of the Spirit, though. But we're almost done for today. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through 14 says, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teacheth. You again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." You got to start somewhere, though, folks. You start as a babe. When you come to Christ, you're new to the faith. That's understandable, but you have to want to grow, right? Like, what does a child do? When a child is like, and I'm sure I'll be hearing this soon, it's like, Caitlin will be 5, and she'd be like, "I'll never be 10, I'll never be 10. And then you remember how we talked about how life speeds up with the miles per hour, right? And all of a sudden it's like, whoa, life is really getting fast now. It's really getting fast now. I was at a closing the other day, and I was with some clients. I remember them buying their first house, and they've kind of moved up. And I look at them, and I look at myself, and I'm thinking, like, wow, like from where I started 14 years ago to today, and I'm like, I'm kind of old. Like, I'm not old, but I am old, like, to where I am. I have no hair now, probably a little more tight around the belly. So this level of skill, this proficiency with the word of God, it comes by study. And you guys know the scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, right? Study to show thyself approved unto God, not unto yourself. Pride goeth before fall, folks. A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth, knowing when do I need, what scripture do I need to combat this problem? So we have to be familiar with the Bible, and we have to use our spiritual senses in order to make full use of the weapon that God has given us. And this is not a large, broad sword in Ephesians. Actually, the word sword in the Greek is makareia, which actually is a large knife used for killing animals and cutting up flesh. A small sword as distinguished from a large sword. A curved sword for a cutting stroke. A straight sword for thrusting. So the key is, and I'm closing here for next week. So this is not a large sword. You actually have to use this sword with precision. You can't just wail it around and try to accomplish it. You have to be able to strike with precision. You almost think like a dagger, right? You know, you have to know where to strike and when to use it. And you need to be able to use it both offensively and defensively. And you do not want to miss next week, because you're going to see the example of it. And it's pretty cool when you dig into the scripture and how awesome, because there's a depth, a breadth, a length, and a height to the word of God. And when you just read it, just saying the word of God, and then when you get in deeper into translation, it's pretty awesome. So you do not want to miss next week. I promise you, you will. It's some good meat. So I will leave that there for you guys. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father. I thank you for your word, which is true and pure, Father. Help us to grow, Lord, from babes to be strong in you, Lord, to desire the things that you have for us, your truth, Lord, that we can apply in our life daily, in our workplaces, at home with our loved ones. Be with us as we go our separate ways this week, Father. Help us to be a light unto this dark world, Lord. Like we just read your scripture, is a light unto our path, Father. Illuminate our path before us this week, Lord. Holy Spirit, accomplish your will and your purpose, Lord. Breathe life into us that we may breathe life into others. That the cross be glorified, Father, in what you did to change lives forevermore. I pray, Lord, again to be with Tammy and her surgery, Lord, and a swift and quick recovery, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You are dismissed.